Good evening. I'll have about 2 or 3 minutes here and then be glad to take questions. Once again, thanks for joining us tonight. I just returned from St. Louis, where, among other things, I sat down this afternoon with faculty and students at St. Louis University Law School. They've been doing a lot of good work there around municipal court issues, and it was really interesting and fruitful to hear their thoughts and their feedback and ideas. Their efforts are another great example of the work being done throughout the region to make real progress on challenges that have vexed this community and our nation for too long. My hope and expectation in the coming weeks is that peace will prevail, but we have a responsibility to plan for an eventuality that might arise. That's why last week I announced the steps we were taking to keep the public safe while allowing citizens to exercise their First Amendment rights regardless of what the St. Louis County Grand Jury or the U.S. Department of Justice decides concerning the investigation into the death of Michael Brown. Today, I announced the next step in that process. As part of our ongoing efforts to prepare for any contingency, today I signed an executive order activating the Missouri National Guard so that they will be in place to support law enforcement in advance of any unrest that might occur following the grand jury's decision. The Guard will help the law enforcement agencies of the Unified Command achieve our dual goals, keeping the public safe while protecting constitutional rights. For example, the National Guard is well suited to provide security at command posts, fire stations, and other locations, freeing up law enforcement officers to remain focused on community policing and protecting constitutional rights. In the order today, I established the Missouri State Highway Patrol, the St. Louis County Police Department, and the St. Louis Metropolitan Police Department operating as a unified command to keep members of the public safe and protect property while allowing citizens to exercise their constitutional rights. Under the executive order, the St. Louis County Police Department will have command and operational control over security in the city of Ferguson in areas of protests and acts of civil disobedience should such activities occur instead of the Ferguson Police Department in that jurisdiction. Meanwhile, we will continue to be fully engaged throughout this entire process in community efforts to avert violence and build trust through our Office of Community Engagement and by supporting the many, many excellent local initiatives that are taking place in the region. Tomorrow, for example, I will announce to St. Louisans that I have appointed to the Ferguson Commission, an independent, diverse, and empowered group that I'm confident will tackle the hard work of change and chart a clear path towards a stronger, more fair, and prosperous future for everyone. I'm proud to join the many voices on all sides calling for peace and calm so that we may build a brighter future together. With that, I'll be glad to take any questions. Operator, you want to queue them up?
Thank you. If you would like to ask a question, please signal by pressing star 1 on your telephone keypad. If you're using a speakerphone, please make sure your mute function is turned off. Limit yourself to one question at this time. Again, please limit yourself to one question at this time. Again, press star 1 to ask a question, and we'll pause to give everyone an opportunity to signal. We'll take our first question from Molly Hennessy-Fisk with the Los Angeles Times. Please go ahead.
Hello, Governor. Thanks for doing this. Will the community leaders be given advance notice of the grand jury decision, and will the schools be given advance notice? Will it be 3 hours notice or 48 hours notice? And because I know protesters have, some of the organizers have called for 48 hours notice.
The actions that we took today are based on what the St. Louis prosecutor has said publicly, and I would leave it to those, either the Department of Justice or the local prosecutor who are dealing directly with those types of notification issues to deal with what the time frames might be in the communities. Next question.
We go next to John Swain with The Guardian. Please go ahead.
Hi, Governor. I just wonder, when are you anticipating that this decision is going to come down? Obviously, Bob McCulloch has said mid to late November. Do you believe there comes a time where that turns into late November, and are you expecting it before that?
We have tried to be consistent here, as I said last week, that we needed to be prepared for any contingencies. We're operating now under the time frame as outlined by the prosecutor, mid to late November. And so we have through the entirety of this process, been predictable in our timings, and it's based on my actions today have been based on that that public framework that has been laid out by the local prosecutor. Next question.
Next to Matt Campbell with the Kansas City Star.
Governor, are you aware of any other case in Missouri in which the guard has been called out as a preemption or preventive measure?
Yeah, I mean, I've done it twice myself. You know, in good examples of Blizzard of 2011. We also did it in Ice Storm, but it was a very sunny day when I called out the guard. You know, we clearly try to, you know, be preparing for contingency. So, yes, I don't know what – I can't speak to other governors, but I myself have done it twice. Next question.
Good, next to Ryan Corsero with CBS News. Please go ahead.
Yes, Governor, thank you for your time tonight. How did you weigh the decision of the timing of announcing this? Just because the fact that things are so anxious here in the Ferguson area right now, to say that there's going to be a state of emergency starting now might stir those fears more. How did you weigh that?
Well, people need to feel safe, but everything we're doing is being driven by the dual objectives, what I call the dual pillars, you know, keeping the public safe while allowing protesters to speak. That's why last week with Unified Command, we outlined the law enforcement side. It's why we've spent a tremendous amount of time in training and constitutional rights and all that sort of stuff. But to achieve those goals, we need to be prepared, and we need to be proactive and to have resources in place in advance of any announcement. And so much like last week's announcement, today follows forward on that into a time frame that will be prepared for any contingency that can arise. Next question.
We go next to Joe Manies with St. Louis Public Radio.
Yes. Governor, two things. How many guard troops are we talking about, and where will they be stationed when they'll be on call? Will they be stationed in the city of St. Louis? Will they be split around the region? How will that be handled?
I'm not going to get into any operational details other than to say that the various duties and responsibilities and places are being viewed, and the commanders will take care of that. I just don't want to get into operational details. Next question.
Next to Mike Lear with Missouri Net. Once again, Mike Lear with Missouri Net. Your line is open. Please check your mute button.
Can you hear me?
Yes, I can.
Hello?
Okay, hello, Mike. Jay Nixon.
Hey, good evening, Governor. Thanks for taking my question. Thanks for doing this. As you know, there was some response from protesters to your announcement last week, and some of them suggested that they felt like you were speaking more to protesters and not to law enforcement. Some may echo those thoughts after tonight. How do you respond to that criticism, and what do you feel your message needs to be, if any, to law enforcement officers?
Well, as I said last week, I mean, you know, one of the primary responsibilities, if not the primary responsibility, is to keep people safe. And so to make sure that we have a consistent, you know, the Unified Command, and as I said last week, contingencies laid out, I think is important. And I think that's why I've tried to be, you know, predictable and consistent in what we're doing here. I would just say, I mean, the second of our pillars are people's right to speak. We're well aware of that. But I don't think we're certainly not. While the focus is on balancing those two pillars, it's important that people be safe and feel safe, and that we plan in a planning, predictable way, do this. And I think that this is the best way to do it. So I think, you know, throughout the entirety of the last 100 days or so, people have spoken their opinions in strong and clear tones. But the bottom line is that it's my view that at this particular juncture, as I said last week, that people need to feel safe, and that to achieve those goals, we need to be prepared. That includes the 5,000 hours of training for the officers that they've had since this summer. But it also means that we have to have resources in place in advance of any announcement. Next question.
We go next to Rachel Lippman with St. Louis Public Radio. Please go ahead.
Governor, are you afraid that you're just might be adding to an already tense situation by deploying a military force this early before anything has happened?
Well, I think, as I said before, the role of the Guard to support local law enforcement, what this will do is I think, enhance the ability of the officers who have gone through the training and are active in their communities and are embracing the community policing strategies that have been effective in the past. It'll allow them to stay out there in the community on the front line, which is where they should be. So I think this actually will allow St. Louis City, St. Louis County, Highway Patrol to have their folks out there in ways that are going to be reactive and interactive with folks so that they can facilitate peaceful interactions. Next question.
We go next to Matthew Sledge with Huffington Post.
Hi, Governor. Thank you. Given that you've declared the state of emergency and you put the Highway Patrol on the Unified Command, does the buck ultimately stop with you when it comes to how any protests are policed?
Well, I mean, our goal here is to keep the peace and allow folks' voices to be heard. And in that balance, I'm attempting, using the resources we have to marshal to be predictable for both those pillars. I just will have to say I don't spend a tremendous amount of time personalizing this vis-a-vis me. I'm trying to make sure that we move forward in a predictable, peaceful manner that plans for all contingencies that might occur, so that people of a disparate group of opinions and actions can be heard, while at the same time the property and persons of people in the St. Louis region are protected. So that, I prefer not to be a commentator on it. I'm making decisions to make sure that we're all prepared for all contingencies. And I think this is another step, positive, predictable step towards preparing for any contingencies.
I guess another way of putting that would be, is there any one official or agency ultimately in charge here in terms of response?
Well, I mean, clearly, I mean, I feel good about we've worked hard to establish Unified Command, to outline the responsibilities, and now with the additional assets provided by my order today of the Missouri National Guard, we've worked through, a number of operational issues that the folks have, and I'll only say our efforts today are on top of a lot of things that have been done over the last 100 days to make sure that we're prepared for any contingency. Next question.
We go next to Eli Rosenberg with KNBC-TV, Kansas City.
How long do you anticipate it will take the Guard to kind of ramp up and actually get on the streets in and around Ferguson? And should anything be read into you announcing this today?
First of all, I don't see it in the initial stages at all. As I said before, I see the Guard as being in a supportive role and allowing the police that have those relationships out there to be out in their communities. We saw before that those were ways in which the tensions could be dealt with, and a number of meetings that our law enforcement leaders have had with a number of faith leaders and folks involved in protests and whatnot. They've had constructive interactions. So our goal is to have use the National Guard to be in a situation where they can be in the Guard is going to play a support role, and it's well suited to provide things like security command posts and fire stations and other locations, as well as to perform functions that will free up law enforcement officers to remain focused on those community policing and protecting constitutional rights. So we see them as a support asset here.
In 3 days, 5 days, tomorrow?
I signed the order today. We're beginning the process, and I'm just not going to go through any specific operational details. Next question.
Next to Ruth Ravy with Fox News. Please go ahead.
Oh, thank you. I believe my question was already answered.
Okay. Next question.
Next to Jessica Machetta with KTRS and ABC News.
Hi, Governor. I think that there are some questions, at least in the St. Louis region, about the unified forces as far as will Metro Police be sticking to the Metro region and County Police to the county, or will they be interchangeable parts? And also, if the Ferguson Department is not going to be handling the protests, what will they be doing?
Well, I think that, all of the folks that are involved in the Unified Command have been working together and are well prepared to work together. And I think that folks in the St. Louis City and the St. Louis County Police are very prepared. And with the Highway Patrol and the Guard resource backing that up, it'll be fine. I think the role in Ferguson, Ferguson Police Department will handle routine calls in Ferguson. We just thought it was best to have the St. Louis County Police Department in charge in Ferguson of those. Places where there have been protest areas in the past, and we just thought it was best to have the St. Louis County folks in charge of that. All right, next question.
Next to Cheryl Corley with National Public Radio. Please go ahead.
Hi, good evening, Governor. I was just wondering, I noticed that you said that, you're trying to create, your goal is to create this balance here. But earlier today when the announcement came that you had declared a state of emergency and activated the National Guard, one of the attorneys for the family said it seemed to indicate to him that you expected some violence, and it almost seemed like a state of war. And I was wondering if you could respond to that.
Well, first, my hope and expectation is that that peace will prevail. But we have a responsibility. I have a responsibility to plan for any contingencies that might arise. In this position, I think it's important that we be prepared for those contingencies. And in order to be prepared for those, it's necessary to have the resources that can be there to support in place in advance of any announcement. I see this as a predictable, natural step forward to plan for contingencies. And in order to accomplish that, it's necessary to have those resources in place in advance of any announcement.
So you don't necessarily expect violence to occur?
No, I certainly, I hope there's no violence. And that's why over the last 90 or 100 days or whatever the exact day is now, there's been just a tremendous amount of work done. whether it's members of the Unified Command sitting across the table from folks and talking about these things, are the faith leaders that have come forward, are the Office of Community Engagement's direct involvement in the community to things like adding 2,000 summer jobs, or the commission we're going to appoint tomorrow that's going to be tasked to deal with the long-term issues, or the professors and students at St. Louis University Law School I met with today that are doing some really thoughtful things around how you can reform the municipal courts to lessen some of the challenges. I mean, a lot of things are going on which are attempting and I think making significant steps. I didn't count all the generosity that's come to the region from corporate leaders, business leaders, and others to assist. So this says the effort is to maintain peace, and I'm hopeful that will occur. Next question.
You're next to Lucas Geisler with ABC 17 News.
Hey, good evening, Governor. One line of your executive order filed today says that, quote, other law enforcement agencies shall assist the Unified Command when so requested and shall cooperate with operational directives of the Unified Command. How does that affect the authority that agencies, for example, like the Columbia Police Department or the Fulton Police Department have? I mean, does this put the St. Louis County Police Department, the St. Louis City Police Department, and the State Highway Patrol in command of law enforcement agencies across the state?
No, our focus has been regionally. What we meant by that was to make sure that the other smaller municipalities were coordinated with the Unified Command here in the St. Louis area. Certainly the focus is that area. And when you have a county like St. Louis County with so many other police departments there, it's important that if you have, and in so many, you know, boundaries between them and all that sort of stuff, physical boundaries, that they operate together if necessary. So it was nothing here was intended or expected to affect any sort of law enforcement decisions in other regions of the state. I'll take one more real quick, and then I've got to go back to another thing.
All right, we'll take our final question then from Diana Zoga with KMOV.
Hi, Governor. When it comes to Ferguson's role in all this, have you directed Ferguson police to stay out of policing during the protest, or how was that decision made?
No, what we dealt with, as I said before, just for the protest areas, St. Louis County would be leading, but the Ferguson PD would continue their daily activities, other than in the protest areas where we want to make sure that there's the St. Louis County Police Department is in charge of those physical locations vis-a-vis protest. I want to thank everybody for getting on tonight. We are, as I said before, as part of our ongoing efforts to plan and prepare for any contingency and to be prepared, I took the action I took today, but it's also important to remember the twin pillars that we have here, safety and speech. So we will continue to work on these issues and together as time moves forward. Thanks, everybody, for being with us.